and welcome to Panel to the People. This is the panel show where we put control in the hands of the audience. So audience, what should we name this panel show? Let's have some suggestions, come on.
What was the thing you just said?
Begin quotes.
What was
so
the
audience,
thing you just said?
What should we call
what was the thing we just said? Any advance on what was the thing we just said? Hello and welcome to the thing we just welcomed you to. This is the panel show where the audience is in control. But to start off, let's meet our panellists. On my left, we've got Dan and Jonathan. And on my right, Tom and Chris. For our first game, we'll play Complete the Lyric. I will read out the beginning of lyrics to popular well-known songs, and the panellists will buzz in, if they have buzzers, which they don't, so they won't, with what the completed lyrics are. So, first one, I kissed a girl.
That was a great 25th birthday.
Anyone else?
The court case is next week.
No, I'm sorry, it was And I Liked It, a popular tune from the hit parade there. Next one. Oh, written in the stars.
If only I had a telescope, I could see what it said.
Anyone else?
Oh, written in the stars, constellations not as previously thought.
No, it's a million miles away. I see you driving round town with the girl I love.
And in my car, you bastard.
Wait, that's my mirror.
I'm afraid the correct answer was, and I'm like, forget you. Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
So what brings you here?
Well, nice talking to you. See you later.
So close. It was, is it me you're looking for? The wipers on the bus.
I'm paid enough, frankly. We should give them better jobs.
This is Rook 5, the wipers on the bus. Once again, the wipers on the bus.
No, I'm afraid the wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish. A little bit of Reuters, all I need.
It's pronounced Reuters.
Were the last words I uttered on MasterChef.
I'm afraid the correct answer was, a little bit of Tina's, all I see. The driver on the bus...
He's underpaid, we should really get him a better job.
Has taken the wipers. Once again, has taken the wipers. Moved to apply wheels.
No, it says, as we all know, the driver on the bus says, move on back. Ooh, ah, just a little bit.
No, too much.
That was, ooh, ah, a little bit more. And finally, how many roads must a man walk down?
Four or five, probably.
Give or take.
Depends what shoes he's wearing.
Yeah, and the type of road. I mean, like, dual carriageway is cap 2.
And if he goes back up, he can come back down again.
Yeah, and if it's a cul-de-sac, he gets a pass. It's only fair.
Yeah, but all good suggestions, but the correct answer was before you can call him a man. So that's the end of that round. Next up is, yes?
Can we give points to one of the panellists?
Oh, let's give points to... not the audience. Chris. Chris, you get the points there. Next up, a game called Blind Charades. Everyone's favourite here. Jonathan and Dan, I think you'll be guessing this one. Okay. Which means that both of you leave? Yes? Which means that both of you leave.
Yes, that's right. Otherwise this would be a stupid game.
Yes. This would be a ridiculous game if they hadn't left. So, what this game entails is a game of charades. However, being a radio medium, we have to allow talking. Thus, the people guessing will not be able to see the person enacting the charades, and will instead have to convey the actions through the medium of voice. It's quite simple, really. So, if we could have the title of a book, film, or charade topic for them to guess. Anybody have any suggestions?
Night at the Museum.
Night at the Museum? Any advance on Night at the Museum? Night at the Museum it is! If we could coax them back, I'll just... Dan, you can take up the position. Where? If the panelists could arrange themselves in the correct positions to play this game.
One of these people has to stand up and do the charades.
Indeed.
And the other person has to
describe. I'll describe.
Tom is now out of sight of Dan and John. Dan, you don't actually need to close your eyes.
I did last time, I was just making sure.
And Chris will describe the actions. Take it away.
Okay, he's placing his hand to one eye and then the other one, like, perpendicular to it and turning it around a bit.
Is he all right? This is an optical exam.
He's cupping his right hand over his eye.
He's a pirate.
Not like that, no.
Has he got something in it?
Moving, I think.
It is what we mean. He's holding up four fingers.
Okay. Four words.
He's holding up three fingers.
Three words. Words or three words?
Third
words.
He's holding a palm vertically and another palm horizontally in such a way that the horizontal and vertical planes, so described, almost form a T.
Could it be that?
But you might be onto something there. He's holding one finger up.
First person.
So first of all, he put his hands, like, not quite over his ears, but sort of, like, you know, about an inch from his ears, but otherwise in a similar sort of pose, and then rotated those as if his ears had somehow migrated to the centre of his face and back of his head. No, because that would, like, one ear on the front of his head and one on the back. There you go. And then,
what the hell?
And then iterated that a few times.
Cyclops?
Having thus confused you.
Like the X-Men Cyclops.
Impression of Saturn.
He then put both of his arms as though drawing something from just outside his pocket, and then did an adorable bit of Star Wars Kid.
Oh, cowboy or something like that. Or some sort of...
An adorable bit of what?
Star Wars Kid.
What's Star Wars Kid?
Oh my. Star Wars Kid. It's like, the internet is made out of Star Wars Kid. It's a fundamental particle of the internet.
Yes, a series.
Sorry, excuse my ignorance.
It was a YouTube video of a kid pretending to be a Jedi.
So he's shaking his arms around.
This is still the first word.
This is still the first word.
Some kind of weapon?
Well,
stick.
So there's both bits to this. There's the one where he does the ears magic, and then there's the bit where he does the Star Wars Kid.
Head.
He's augmenting that somewhat by... Oh, for God's sake, that's impossible to describe. He's augmenting that a bit by holding two fists out in front of his chest. And then sort of
driving a bike,
and then bobbing his arms around a bit.
He's driving a bus.
He's basically
blind.
Reduced what he's done. But
was an MC Hammer impression of it?
There was, as far as I can see, no MC Hammer. He then did a thing where, keeping his hands in the same position, he sort of, you see, you can't really do this unless you're standing up.
It's a good thing he's standing up.
So he went up and down, sort of like
bobbed up and down.
Pilates.
Turbulence, he's on an aeroplane. Is it turbulence something the something?
Turbulence.
It's not the something, no.
It's only four, five. No,
four.
Five. Five. Five
words.
That's four words.
He held up one finger again, as if to reset.
It's his first word.
As if to reset all this nonsense.
is it something to do with swords or weaponry?
Then put his hands together as if in prayer, and put them against his cheek whilst leaning on them.
Sleep.
Dreaming.
sleeping.
Now,
napping.
How could something to do with sleep, etc., possibly relate
to this bizarre, to being ear moving
Jedi
way?
The ear moving Star Wars kid.
Oh,
absolutely
Leia.
Not a bicycle riding
meme.
Just Leia. Weird ears, hair.
Prince Yoda. No. The ears were an illustrative device. The ears are not what was actually illustrated. Otherwise, this would be rubbish. Because I would just be telling you what he's doing. He's holding up four fingers.
Right.
Fourth word.
All right. Okay. He's holding his hands out in front of him as if clasping something quite small, and then occasionally, like, raising his finger to his lips and sort of nodding in appreciation.
Evil, Doctor Evil.
He's nodding. He looks interested.
Thought, pensive, thinking. Idea.
Is it going to be good or bad? Is it evil? Does he like evil?
Vaguely.
He likes you
in the right directions, but I feel I would be in violation of the spirit of the game if I were to just add more at this point, so I need Tom to do something ridiculous.
I think you've already had him doing lots of ridiculous things, what it sounds like.
At the moment, it seems like a cross between MC Hammer and Dr. Evil. As a combination. With a bit of Jedi thrown in there.
That may as well be the answer.
He holds up two fingers.
Okay.
And then pinches his thumb and forefinger together, as if to indicate something small.
Oh? Okay.
Sorry, which word was this?
Second.
Second.
Two fingers.
A, of, in,
on.
On, up.
With an O.
there's not many two letter words.
And
there's...
It is...
Is it a preposition?
Of.
Is the exciting one that is a preposition? When I say preposition, does he nod?
Oh, yes, he does nod.
Okay.
I didn't know the answer to preposition. I fell into this linguist trap last week.
Right, so
I think we should try the first word again. I think we can get the first word.
Right. God.
Think sword.
It will basically give
armor,
us the title.
Weapon.
If this could be persuaded.
Shield.
Mask. Weapon.
Ah.
Mask.
Is it like thing?
Give us your second take.
Helmet.
So what? One finger.
Yep.
He draws a rectangle horizontal in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he then picks up lots of little objects that are sort of resting on this rectangle
cube
and moves them around.
Don't forget to mention his hips.
His hips.
Groovy chest.
Elvis.
Ooh. Oh, is it only Austin Powers? When he's playing chess?
Perhaps the hips were a distraction.
Could there be something which connects chess and also the ridiculous ear charade from earlier and also the sleeping stroke darkness theme that we had?
Rook, knights. Yeah! Knights of the?
Oh.
Knights
in the. On the.
Night at the museum.
Was that what it was? Because I completely forgot.
It was.
It's been so long ago.
Museum.
I finally got it. Night at the museum. I think the points there go to me for sitting through that. That was a mime for a helmet.
It's a knight, but he's got a frisbee round his head.
I think I did eventually manage to convey it. Like, the thing you were doing is the same as what Tom was doing, so...
Moving on! Now it's another game where we're going to have to call on audience participation to an even greater extent. Yes, it's sound effects like that we're going to need for this game. So our panellists are going to take it in turns among themselves to tell you a story. But whenever sound effects are going to be required for this story, I'm going to need you, the audience, to provide those sound effects. Are you prepared to deal with such a burden?
Hey.
Excellent. But before we can begin, we need a title for this story. So, anyone got a title for a story?
The silence of the...
The silence of the... So, if panelists, if we could begin with Chris telling the story of the silence of the...
It was a bright Sunday morning as Jim woke up and he thought, something is wrong.
As he got out of bed, he landed on the floor. Because it was a bunk bed.
He then went and did his daily morning affairs, such as brushing his teeth and combing his hair.
But suddenly, he turned on the television and tried to tune into the local news.
Something was wrong with what the presenters were saying. It was like somebody had stolen the definite article.
This was very confusing.
As they were speaking, they'd be saying something such as, like, welcome to fourth episode tonight, which confused him immeasurably.
Jeff decided that something had to be done, so he got in his car and drove over to the Oxford English Dictionary headquarters. Where a stray polar bear was very angry, sitting at the doorstep.
Jim knew that only his arch nemesis, the lexical thief himself, could have stolen the definite article.
Dun dun dun!
Jim knew that the lexical thief himself, always dressed up in a mammal costume in which to hide himself from suspecting eyes.
Therefore, taking the logical leap, he attacked the polar bear viciously. The polar bear recoiled in horror and fell over and landed in a nearby river.
The lexical thief quickly unzipped himself from the polar bear costume.
And he ran away through the shallow river.
Jeff or Jim, we're still not quite sure, ran in hot pursuit in order to get the definite article back.
Eventually, Jeff was able to block the river with a passing lorry to stop the thief escaping.
Running up to the lexical thief, he drew his adjectival nunchuck.
Very easy.
And he beat the thief until the dropped out of the thief's pocket.
Scooping up the definite article, he said to the lexical thief, ha! Foiled again. And ran back to the OED, where he returned the definite article.
And that, kids, is the etymology of the word the.
We're good, points to Dan and Chris on that one. Well done. they do deserve it just. Now it's a game we like to call X Without Y. Each panelist will be given the task of describing a well-known story from which a crucial element has been removed. So, for our first one, for Chris, could we have a well-known tale?
The moon landings.
The moon landings. And what crucial element of the moon landings is missing? Could anybody suggest a crucial element of the moon landings that could be missing? The aliens.
That well-known terrifying day.
So, Chris, your challenge is to describe the moon landings without mentioning the aliens. All right. Take it away if you can.
The year was 1969, and three brave astronauts who had been constructed by... were preparing to fly their rocket, also constructed by... to the moon, largely made out of... They blasted into Earth orbit, which mostly belongs to... and quickly transferred over to the moon, which, as aforementioned, is made of. They landed, narrowly avoiding a... which was absolutely not crushed. They took samples from the moon, mostly of, but also some of, and some. running back to the lunar lander to escape the writhing tides of... They blasted away from the moon's surface and quickly fled back to Earth, which by now had been taken over by... Landing in the mid-Atlantic, most of which marine life is actually... They said, fear not, it was an accident. The quickly signed a peace treaty and withdrew to their own planet. The end.
Next up, can we have another well-known tale from Fact or Fiction for Tom?
Little Red Riding Hood.
Little Red Riding Hood, and which crucial element will be missing?
The woodcutter.
The woodcutter. Tom, if you would, Little Red Riding Hood, but without the woodcutter.
So, once upon a time, Little Red Riding Hood decided it was a good day to go and visit her grandmother. So, she took a stroll through the woods, and all the trees were still there. She saw some mushrooms, and she picked them. And, as she strolled along, she thought, I fancy sitting down near this little brook and just having a rest. But there was no bench.
She continued
on her way. She got to her grandmother's house, which was made of stone, and went to knock on the door. But there was merely a hole. So she just walked straight in. Her grandmother was there, cooking some stew over a coal fire. Grandmother, I brought you some mushrooms, said Little Red Riding Hood. Come closer to me, Red Riding Hood, said the grandmother. And as Red Riding Hood approached, it was her grandmother, as expected. Red Riding Hood put the mushrooms in the stew, which they ate, and lived happily ever after.
Very nice, well done. Now, before we finish today, just time for a quick read of the news headlines. I didn't bring any with me, unfortunately, so if a member of the audience could provide some of the headlines they've seen, and then perhaps the panellists could fill us in on what the actual stories there were. Any words from the audience?
Fish.
Fish. Fish. More words from the audience. Any words?
Mirror.
Mirror.
Sticks.
Stones.
Stick, stones. Stick, stones, fish, mirror, triumph, was the headline. If the panellists could perform a similar rotating style, but this time only one word each, to describe to us what that story was about. Take it away.
Yesterday,
there
was
a
collapse
in
Leonard
Cohen's
self...
esteem
due to a
packet
of sticks which
was
stoning his greenhouse.
Bystanders
were fish. They
reported
this monstrosity,
allowed it
to
the
of
and
you start that sentence again. Who starts this? They
reported
it
to
reflect
upon
what
had
come
previously.
The herring
remarked to
his cod
that yesterday
Leonard Cohen
was
happier before today
because
his greenhouse was
reflective
and not at
risk. It
was shiny
but unworkable.
Thank you very much. So we've got time for a quick game of World's Worst. Unfortunately, this requires audience suggestions again. But if you could give us examples of professions, and the panellists will give us examples of the world's worst examples of those professions. So a profession, please, from the audience.
Accountant.
Accountant.
Hello, my name's George W. Bush. I'll be your accountant today. 1 + 1 = 5.
I have enumerated the insects. There are 4. Oh, hold on.
There we go.
So I decided to dress the spreadsheet up and make it all pink and purple. And there are little pictures of flowers all around it. Oh, that's not what you meant by creative accounting.
Could we have another profession from the audience, please?
Lecturer.
Lecturer.
And I leave the lecturer as an exercise to the interested reader.
All right, I feel that I've been too aggressive in my teaching style, so you lecture to me. People lecture. Go!
Why, yes, that is a question that requires a very long, verbose, and entirely boring to everybody else in the lecture response. Allow me to give it to you.
The class is cancelled as, due to a conversation on a bad phone line, we hired lecturers.
Another profession, please.
The class really is cancelled.
Undertakers.
Undertaker.
So would you like earth, wind, fire, or water?
Before we bury enormous Bob, can I just say, apropos of nothing, have you thought about a career in alternative fuels?
And a final occupation.
Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Oh, there's quite a lot of room in this town. We'll both fit.
God darn it, I gotta lost my horse.
You see this star, boy? I got it for good behavior when I was in year 7.
I'm here for 2 things. Catching criminals, eating Rice Krispies. And I have quite some considerable quantity of Rice Krispies.
And on that note, I think the points go to everybody there. So, just looking at the scores, I see that this week's winner is Jonathan. Well done, Jonathan. As is fitting, an acceptance speech, I think, is in order. But who does he need to thank, audience? Could we have a famous person from the audience?
Catherine Tate.
Catherine Tate. A fictional character.
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. And another profession, please.
Baker.
A baker. So, Jonathan, as you accept your award for winning the panel show this week, don't forget to thank Catherine Tate, Winnie the Pooh, and a baker.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, my God, this means the world to me. Oh, this is brilliant. This could not have been much. It's my lifelong dream. I just want to say quickly a few words. I want to say thank you to my grandmother. But I'm not sure. I think she's been replaced by an actress recently, some sort of comedian. I think it's actually Catherine Tate in disguise. I'm confused. My family's very confusing. I've forgotten who's next. Ah, yes. Often I would do, when I was in really bad times, when I was talking with a droney voice, when I was beginning to sound like some sort of depressed donkey, there was one person who was there for me with vast amounts of honey. I have to say a big thank you, big, big, big thank you to Winnie the Pooh. And finally, there's nothing that lifts my spirits more than croissants. Croissants are just something I find so delicious. I just got to say thank you to my baker. You know, when he wasn't giving me croissants, he was being a right pain-o-shucker. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. thank you, and that was...
What was the thing you just said?
The panellists were Jonathan, Dan, Chris, and Tom.
Who are you?
I'm James, and I never said...